Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you read the gospel lesson for today, and you look at it carefully, sometimes you can be left wondering, is Jesus really serious about what he says? Will God really allow those who don't forgive from their heart to be turned over to the jailer, to be tortured until the debt is paid? That doesn't sound like a very loving God. It isn't. It's a just God. It's a holy God. It's a fair God. It's the God who forgives and expects to see forgiveness from those he has forgiven. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is serious business. Look again at the last three lines of the gospel lesson, beginning at verse 32. It says, "Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' In his anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. 'This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.'" This thing about forgiving one another from the heart is serious to God, isn't it? It's so serious. You know, oftentimes people, they only want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection for their own eternal life and then go on their merry way without thinking that that should mean any changes in their life. Truly, oftentimes, all people want out of Christianity is fire insurance. We don't want to take on board the seriousness of God's forgiveness to us for Jesus' sake. So we try to change it up. We try to lighten it up. We try to make it be something less than what it is so we don't have to change. And we don't have to deal with truly forgiving one another from the heart. Now, in a recent video that was posted on the LCMS website, Sonia connected it to our Facebook page. President Harrison of the LCMS has one of my favorite Luther quotes that goes, "The student of Scripture never changes Scripture. Rather, Scripture, which is God's own word, changes the one who studies it." If God's forgiveness through his word changes us and how we live, how we treat each other, and how we view each other in church, that's what happens for us. Sadly, however, very sadly, we see that oftentimes this perception of change is lost. It's kind of like what happened at this one branch of the New York Public Library. Happened some years ago, according to a Wall Street Journal article. This one library branch started lending out cameras and automobile analyzers and hedge trimmers and lawn tillers and all kinds of a variety of tools. What had happened was some administrator began to view the library as a lending institution to support his favorite causes, rather than seeing the library as a source of public education. He didn't want to deal with the true purpose of the library, so he changed it, like people try to do with the church sometimes. He changed it to suit his whims. And like I said, that's the same thing that has happened with forgiveness in many churches. The proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ and God's word is no longer central. Instead, for them, the church has become nothing more than some sort of a community center or some sort of a club for the like-minded. they've lost sight of the church as a place for the care and healing of souls through the Word of God. A place for the care and healing of souls through the Word of God. There is little or no talk about how serious the Bible is about God's healing grace to the world through His forgiveness that changes the world and everyone living in it. Now, I know this can sound a little off-putting or maybe a little confusing. Why is the pastor saying this serious stuff when I should be hearing and all I want to hear is sweetness and light? Well, think about what Jesus said. Think about what Jesus said and consider that if forgiveness is not something serious and life-changing, why are you here? What are you here for? In one of my SEM classes, many, many years ago now, I recall a professor talking about the understanding that forgiveness is about doing, not feeling. We forgive others because that's what we've been forgiven for. Forgiveness is not dependent on how we feel at the time. Jesus, in the parable, describes in detail that forgiveness involves acts of mercy, not charitable or pleasant feelings. Forgiveness really is about what we do as a result of Jesus what Jesus on the cross has done. It's not about what we feel. And that's one of the reasons why even a child can easily understand who God is and understand what God has done. I had a friend tell me about how he's watched how kids can be fighting tooth and nail one moment in the morning, and by the time their mothers call them in from playing together, they're again best friends. That's because, my friend said, because they take apologies seriously. Kids learn early on that if you apologize and forgive, then it's time to act on that. Take your friend at their word and then move on. In the parable that Jesus told today, think back. I want you to tell me this. I want to hear this out loud. How did the king act toward the servant who owed him such a huge debt? How did he act? What? I heard it over here. Forgave him. He forgave him, didn't he? The king acted with what? He acted with mercy. He acted with mercy, compassion. He acted on his mercy, and he forgave the man his debt. The king didn't say, "Oh, I feel nice and warm and fuzzy today. So, since I'm feeling so good about myself, I'll forgive you," did he? No, that isn't what he said. No, the servant came and begged, and it says that the king took pity on him and canceled his debt. The king was active in this. The king took pity. It was an action that the king took. Yes, he felt compassion for the slave's circumstance, but that wasn't enough. The king needed to act, and that's why it's called taking pity, not feeling pity. The king did something with his compassion. Now, some years back, you guys have all familiar, seen this before, the Ad Council. And I tried to find it, but I couldn't last night, or yesterday, this week. Anyway, the Ad Council had a series of commercials sometime back called Almost, like what I talked about with the kids. And the series shows that it's not enough to almost help a friend in need. It's not enough to almost give time and effort to a crisis pregnancy center. It's not enough to almost buy extra groceries for the food bank. Almost isn't enough, according to these ads. Again, like I talked about with the kids. And that's a good example for us. It's a good example of what Jesus was talking about in this parable and what the king did. He did more than almost. He acted by taking pity. And then he acted again and forgave the man his debt. That is what the king did. Does the king now sound like a hard-hearted, cold, and cruel individual? No. But that's because of how he acted. He went beyond justice to showing mercy. He went beyond being fair to acting out forgiveness. God has, for Jesus' sake, dying on the cross and rising to new life again, God has forgiven each of us our own massive debt of sin. And now, how are we to act as a result of that? How serious do we take the forgiveness of our own debt of sin that we have been shown by heaven's King? Remember my professor's words. Forgiving others is not about how you feel, but about what you do and how you act. Forgiveness is a serious thing. The king did turn over that slave to the jailer in the end, though, didn't he? Why? Why did he turn him over? Why? What happened? Why did the king turn him over? He what? He didn't pay, but why else did the king turn him over eventually? He wasn't forgiving. That's right. He wasn't forgiving. He didn't do what the king did. He didn't pass on the forgiveness that the king had passed on to the slave. The slave did not also pass it on to his fellow slave. It's like a spigot. You can give someone all the water that you want. You just turn on the spigot. Same thing with forgiveness. An unlimited amount of forgiveness is what you've been given. But it isn't just for us to keep shut up behind the tap. It's been given to us to give away. It's for us to pass on. It's for us to act on. We've not been given forgiveness, so we can just go and sit on the sidelines with our portions of forgiveness and go be happy. No, we've been given forgiveness so that. We've been given forgiveness so that we can pass it on, give it away, and see that others also have forgiveness given to them. Do we take seriously that we have been, you truly have been forgiven? Or are we like this sign? This preacher and his wife passed a new church that had rented a sign and put it out front, and it said, "Repent, the end is near." After driving down the road a little while, the wife said to her husband, "Do you suppose they rented that sign by the month or by the year?" She was getting at the point that if they really believed that the end was near, why would they put money simply into renting a sign? Why wouldn't they instead be living as though the end was truly at hand? Now, unlike those who rented that sign, we want to follow and act on the words of Jesus here about passing on forgiveness from the heart. The God and King of the universe has entrusted to us the serious business of passing on the forgiveness he has so freely given to us. He does not treat us fairly or justly. He acts on his mercy. He grants us forgiveness according to his grace and not according to what we do or what we deserve. The king has called us to do what he has first done for us. Take seriously the fact of forgiveness given to us and act on that. Take what has been given to you by the righteous blood of Christ on the cross. Take that forgiveness. And just like a child does for his friend, give it away. Open up that tap. Let it flow. I promise you in Jesus' name, you will never run out of God's forgiveness to give away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.